This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and we're speaking with Tim Kukavica. Tim is the principal for Tim's Water Service, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Tim, congratulations on being our first international sweeping contractor that's a sweeping contractor of the month at World Sweeper.
Thank you very much.
It's a well-deserved choice. I really enjoyed the information you've sent me about your company. You were in farming and probably thought you would be for your life, but saw other opportunities in the water truck business. If you would, tell people how you got into the business, into the water truck business. I thought that was entertaining in that you bought your water truck and had no idea that you would be getting into business with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my background is fruit farming, typically tree fruit, and in the winter times there, it slows down. We got nothing to do, so I started snow plowing and started with one truck and then another truck, and I went to an auction and I noticed there was a water truck from our local city here that was at the auction and had the same transmission as one of my plow trucks. So I bought this water truck really cheap. And then I brought it back to the yard and checked it out, and had my mechanic look over it, and it was like, you know, $200, you can put it back on the road. So instead of tearing it apart, I put it back to life, and it actually had a rear auxiliary engine for, like, flusher nozzles, and I put the flusher nozzles back on and started hauling water, and now all of a sudden I'm in the water business, and I didn't even think I was going to be doing that.
It's funny how that stuff occurs, doesn't it?
Oh, big time.
At some point you got involved with sweeping. How did that take place?
Well, with this, like I say, back to this water truck, I got a call one day from a construction company, and they had a problem with the on the highway. They were trying to sweep some on-ramps. They had a mechanical sweeper sweeping it, and the government inspectors shut him down because he was making too much dust. So the construction company called me up to ask me to wet it down. And I said, well, why do you want me to wet it down? Like, what's your final purpose? And he said, well, we got to clean off these ramps. So I said, okay, if I can wash off the ramps without a sweeper, how would you like that? It'll be five times quicker. He says, okay, go ahead and try it. And in what I did in 5 minutes, it would take the sweeper probably half an hour. It got cleaned. All of a sudden he said, okay, now do this ramp, that ramp, and that ramp. Working with different construction companies, you know, doing the water service and this and that, and one foreman from a construction company said, Tim, why don't you, you know, buy a sweeper? We don't have anybody reliable, and can never get a good sweeping operator. So I looked into it, and bought my first sweeper, and things go good, and then over the years, you know how it goes, you buy another one, you update, you get this, you get that, until you get the best.
I see what you run is both street sweepers and parking lot sweeping equipment. Looks like you have a Schwartz A7000 is your street sweeper, and 348s, which allow not only parking lot sweeping, but light and medium construction sweeping as well.
Yeah, I have three A7000s, and then an S348i, and then I also have a Power Boss sweeper, which is like similar like to a Tennant, and then also a skid steer with a pickup broom sweeper and an angle broom sweeper.
Well, that lets you do just about whatever the customer would want and do it in a way that is cost-effective for them and where you can afford to stay in business too, so that's excellent.
My belief has always been, you know, someone calls you up to do a job, you get in and get out as quick as you can so that they can finish doing what they have to do.
And you handle even milling operations with that machine, is that right? Do you have something? What do you use for milling?
Well, actually, no. It's like usually for the millings, they have like the Bobcat sweeper comes in and sweeps it, windrows it, or whatever. Mechanical picks it up, and then we usually basically once they're done, we go in and get all the fines with the 7000 before they put the top coat on.
I wondered about that because it's tough to use even a heavy-duty air sweeper for millings. It's a good way to buy a new sweeper because your old one doesn't work very well anymore. You really need a mechanical of some kind to get in there and get this stuff up.
Air sweeper can do it, but it's more efficient to use a mechanical.
Absolutely. What are some of the other things that you would talk about in terms of your business? You've done some kind of unusual specialty type items, it sounded like. Talk about those.
There's a amusement park that's called Marine Land, which, you know, they have all kinds of dolphins and beluga whales and killer whales and that, and quite a few times all these fish, as I call them, they come from Russia, and they come from Russia, they're held in these big steel tanks, and there's minimum water in them just for so they have enough water to sustain themselves. And once they come off the planes, we have to, like for the dolphins, it has to be a certain temperature, so the water has to be heated up, and we go there to the airports and fill these tanks up. And the killer whales, I think they're the water is not that critical, the temperature. We've got to fill the tanks up so that from transporting from the airport back to the amusement park so they survive. Done TV commercials, did one movie. And anybody that calls up for any kind of whatever they need, we can do it.
One that we talked about offline that I thought was particularly inventive was getting a sweeper into the hold of a freighter.
Yeah, that was at we have a dry dock here, and they were doing sandblasting, reconstructing the ship, and so with the big heavy cranes they had, they wanted all these sandblastings cleaned up, so they hooked it up the sweeper and dropped her down in the hole.
You're suddenly not a street sweeper anymore, you're more of a boat sweeper.
Whatever you want clean, we'll try to do it.
That's right, that's right. Pay within 30 days and don't ask a lot of questions.
Exactly.
It's clear that you have developed the kinds of can-do and, as you say, get in and get out, get the job done, get there when it's needed. I know in construction sweeping, as we talked about, half the work they want done yesterday and done as quickly as possible, so responsiveness really makes a difference. Is there anything you can talk about that addresses that? How do you arrange things so that when somebody calls, you can get out there and get their job done for them and have them keep calling you year after year?
Basically, you know, during the summer period there with construction, like, you'll get phone calls all the time, you know, what time can you be here, when can you get here, I need you right away. And like I said, you know, go in and out real quick. So basically, instead of, you know, spending 4 hours there sweeping back and forth and doing what you have to do, and if we can do it in 2 hours, that's half the time. So someone calls me up and, you know, bang, we can do the other job.
You have what you call forged partnerships with a variety of entities around your local area. Can you help contractors have a better way of thinking about how to address that, how to do that?
That is really based on your reputation. If you're a contractor and you go do a job, and if that contractor likes what you did and you did it in a good, timely fashion and you did a good job and he's happy, in that construction community, they all talk to each other. They, you know, use this guy, don't use that guy. Recommendations, you know, go a long, long way, and that's how it worked out, just from one construction company talking to other construction companies. Or if there's construction companies that are from out of town and they have a contract to do and they need certain, like a sweeper or a flusher truck, they won't really go in the phone book. They'll ask either other contractors that are on the job, like other subs, or they'll phone other construction companies and ask them, hey, who do you use to this, that, and the other, and that's where you get your recommendations.
I think that's really a key element to think about, because a lot of times people think, if, well, we're in the Yellow Pages, they're going to call us. But
I would say maybe 5% of my business is out of the Yellow Pages. Like, I'm even thinking of canceling it because, you know, it's the old theory, you know, oh, you should be in the Yellow Pages, but I don't know. I think it's more word of mouth from the other contractors, and now more the Internet than anything else in the Yellow Pages.
Yeah, we have a number of contractors who will tell us that our contractor locator is one of their top ways to get leads these days, just because there's so many people looking online for the contractors and for everything else. I can't recall picking up the Yellow Pages. A lot of people just simply don't use them anymore. It used to be that people would say, where's your Yellow Pages? And now we may not even have them kicking around. For many people, it's all online.
Like, you know, I ask every person that calls me, you know, how did you get my number? Or how do you know about me? And then I get their response, and it's, you know, the internet. You know, because it, like, even though you have, like, yellowpages.com or whatever, but, you know, they just punch in power sweeping, and, you know, names come up, and then they click that, or, and basically, you know, you get it from there.
It's a lot more from Google and Yahoo and the major search engines than it is people going to a yellowpages.com and the other competitors that are there. One of the things that you talk about is your farming background, and having grown up on a farm myself, we were 5 miles from town, which doesn't sound like that far, but when I was growing up, my folks would do just about anything to not have to run to town to get a part. We had, you know, not only baling wire, but a few other things that would keep our equipment together. But the other part of that is innovation. I think farmers tend to be really innovative to get equipment and machinery to where it operates real well and in innovative ways. Is there anything you've done in your sweeping operation especially, or your water service operation, that has made you more innovative than the equipment that just comes off the line?
I'm always trying to MacGyver. Remember that old...
Yeah, I do. Show? Yeah, he was the guy that could make baling wire out of duct tape.
Yeah, anything and everything. Basically, I just, you know, I see how the equipment runs and that, and, you know, if I can tweak this or tweak that or change this or add this or take that off, and just looking back, standing back, watching the equipment run and seeing how we can improve it more.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important part out of this topic, is to think about what your challenges are in operating any of your equipment or your personnel, or, you know, showing up on time or doing a good job and not trailing, whatever that is. Think about how can you fix that to make it better and make your company run better. I think when you have that in mind, it's surprising what you think of.
The one thing you mentioned that I forgot to say, and I just thought about it when you said it, is being on time. When a customer calls you and, you know, when can you be here? And if you tell them you can't say, like, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. You give them, I'll be there between 9:30 and 10, or 10 and 10:30. Give them a time frame. And then when you do show up there earlier or on time, that's a big, big plus.
Good point. I think too many people overschedule themselves, and it does nothing for customer relations. And you may not know that they have that scheduled, and, you know, you're keeping 10 employees from doing their job because you're not there.
Yeah. Or something does happen on the way, and, oh, he's going to be there was an accident, so he'll be a half hour late. Call that customer back right away and say, you know, hey, Joe, we tried to be there, but this and this happened. You know, we're going to be half hour late. Most of the time they'll say, not a problem. You get here.
And they'll certainly appreciate that you called them. And the fact that you are normally on time 95% of the time gives you the credibility that you can get away with that too.
Exactly.
Are there any other kind of tips or techniques that you would offer out for other contractors, either working with their equipment, working with customers, getting business, handling employees, any of those kinds of things that...
Be honest and fair with your customers. In the construction business, things always happen. Things always break down. They understand that. It's part of the business. If something happens, you know, inform them. It's you know, the worst thing is not answering the phone or not making that phone call. Don't be scared if, you know, your sweeper broke down, your tire blew, you know, you'll be an hour late. But as long as you explain to them, rather than, you know, oh, I won't call them and I'll see what happens later. That's the worst thing that could
right, I've got the sweepers broken down tonight, but we think we're going to get it fixed so that we could be there at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, just...
You've got to let them know.
They know that you're conscientious and you're on top of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a unique piece of equipment on your website that I've never heard of called a turbine jet dryer. What on earth is that, Tim?
What that is the same principle as at the NASCAR races for drying when it rains, to dry off the track. It's an actual fighter jet engine mounted on a cabin chassis. and in the back is a, I call it like a vacuum cleaner head. It's about 8 feet wide in the back, so it's almost like a lane width, and it blows hot air at about 650 degrees Celsius, and we use that to dry off the asphalt if they have to do top coat or line painting in the inclement weather when it's too cold. If the sun even does come out, it won't dry off the asphalt naturally, and this machine will.
And you put that together yourself?
Yes.
Well, I've never seen anything quite like it. The hood of it looks kind of like a regenerative air sweeper hood that's just sitting out by itself. How much fuel does it use?
It uses 300 liters an hour.
So it's not inexpensive to run, it just does a good job.
Yeah, it's a costly piece of equipment. It's sort of basically when they're stuck and their hands are tied, emergency, help, 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 this thing can do the job. More for emergency road work where, you know, it's later in the winter, if it's in the winter time, if something happened to the asphalt or and they got to repave it and patch it real quick, and then it'll go out.
Gotcha. Very interesting. What percentage of your business would you say is repeat business?
90%.
I wouldn't be surprised with that. The item that I wanted to see what kind of input you had on, in the United States, of course, we have the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. Different states and different situations and agencies enforce those requirements more than others. What's happening in Canada? Water flushing, for example, don't want to be flushing particulates and pollution, you know, into a waterway, I'm sure. At the same time, maybe that flushing it off the side of the road and into, you know, grassy swale areas is the best way to trickle it down and keep it out of the waterway. So
up here, it's yet not as critical as down in the state. The biggest concern is, like I said, a sweeper isn't going down the road and blowing dust everywhere, and, you know, they want a dust-free environment. Construction companies, engineers and that, you know, they don't want to see dust on the construction sites. They don't want to hear complaints from neighbors, you know, calling about, you know, dust or this or that. So that's why we're still able to do lots of flushing up here.
How about track out from construction projects? Are they addressing that where you have,
that's a big concern for them. They don't want to see any kind of mess on the roads, you know, with dump trucks driving out, chunks of mud flaking off the tires and on the road. Like some sites we have, we go in there twice a day. At the end of the day, it all depends on the conditions of the day of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's rained all day long and then they'll shut down, and the next day it's, you know, gets muddy, we're in there. We could be there like for the whole 8-hour shift, depending on the conditions. But that's the city street's got to be spotless.
Well, that's good for business.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we should talk about? Any questions I didn't ask?
Not that I can think of.
Well, it's easy to see talking to you why you'd be chosen for being Contractor of the Month. And, you know, I appreciate your professionalism, and it does nothing but increase that of the entire power sweeping industry. And shall we say the international power sweeping industry, even though you're just a bit north of Niagara Falls, you're part of our international coverage at this point, too. So I certainly appreciate it. We've been talking with Tim Kukavica, and he is principal for Tim's Water Service, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Thanks.
Thank you.